Hardcore Daily on WrestlingObserver.com with your host, Brian Alvarez.
That's right. It is Figure 4 Daily, November 25, 2013, here at figure4online.com/WrestlingObserver.com. What'd you think of that? The Blizzard Beast put that together for me. He, of course, was the guy that put together the theme song for After Dark. And the theme song was so cool that I said, why don't we maybe work on something for Figure 4 Daily? And he came up with a few, and that was the one that I liked the best. He's a metal guy, so that's the kind of music you get in there in the background. In fact, the background music there and the background music for After Dark Radio were both songs that he created himself. So, I like it. Now, on the topic of After Dark, we're about to go to open lines, and we're about to take your thoughts on pro wrestling and mixed martial arts, and Twitter questions as well, as we do every Monday here on the show. But before we do that, I told everybody last night I was going to make an announcement, and in fact, it has to do with After Dark Radio. I won't beat around the bush. Beginning this Friday night at midnight, After Dark Radio will be streaming live from artbell.com. I'm not kidding. If you go up to artbell.com right now, Art has created, well, Art and his webmaster, Keith Rowland, they have created an Art Bell Broadcasting Network. The Dark Matter Radio Network is actually what it's technically called. Here's what happened. Art is done with Sirius Satellite Radio. There's no going back. He did everything he could, and it's done. So, he has a two-year no-compete, and when the two-year no-compete is over, he will return and stream his show live from artbell.com. Now, for the next 2 years, he can't do anything. And so, they have created the Dark Matter Radio Network. And there are going to be a number of paranormal-style podcasts that are going to stream live from the website, starting tonight, in fact. Tonight at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, the Paranormal Podcast with Jim Harold is going to be airing at artbell.com. And there are a number of other programs as well. And if you go to artbell.com right now and stream down, you will see Friday night, Saturday morning, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, After Dark with Brian Alvarez. Now, how does that change anything? Well, it doesn't change it too much. I usually tape at midnight anyway. I go live at midnight, whether it's live or not for you guys, because I want to take calls. But now that the show will be streaming live from artbell.com, hopefully we will greatly increase the listener base, number one. And number two, you will be able to listen to the show as it's going on, and you will be able to know what we're talking about, what to call about, and it'll be just like a live radio program. So that's going to start this coming Friday night. Now, I realize that midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, is very, very late. It is a Friday night. It's not like this is on a traditional work night. But there is a possibility that I'll move the show an hour earlier and start at 11 p.m. Pacific, 2 a.m. Eastern. We'll see how it goes in this time slot, honest to God. The midnight Pacific is easier for me, so we're going to see if we can do that for a while. But it's especially good for those of you that live around the world. You'll be able to listen to the show live. I know some of you in the UK, Australia. I know some of you will be able to listen to it in the morning, in the afternoon. It's worldwide at artbell.com, live streaming. Everything else will be the same. I'll still be taking Twitter questions. Phone calls will now be live. You'll be able to listen to people call in. And you, of course, can call in as well. Everything is exactly the same as before. Same phone numbers on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. And it's going to be a lot of fun. Very excited about this, as I'm sure you're all well aware. And I'm going to spread the word here. If you love the show, please spread the word as well. If you've not heard the JFK special, it is up on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com. Or you can go to BrianAlvarez.com or AfterDarkRadioShow.com. They both have the JFK episode as well. And spread the word. Let's make this show the biggest show they've got up there at artbell.com. At least until Art comes back, of course. So I'll be talking about this more in the next couple of days, but I am very excited about that. And I know I've already got a few emails from people that figured it out before I made this official announcement. And I want to thank everybody who sent in really nice emails and was very excited about it. I'm excited as well. So I have not done live radio. I did live radio for IATA. And for many years, I did live radio for Wrestling Observer Live. But there were circumstances that I won't talk about here. But we moved that to a taped show. But there is a possibility that Wrestling Observer Live may be going live as well, which is always exciting. Also going to have a lot of big guests on After Dark. It's going to be a lot of fun. So no more time wasting about that. If you want more information, go to artbell.com, or I'll be putting up some information on the front page of WrestlingObserver.com as well. Apparently, you've already got people calling in, so let's not waste any time. You are on Figure Four Daily. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Tommy from New York. How are you doing, Brian?
Give me your name one more time. I had your volume turned down.
Oh, sorry about that. It's Tommy from New York.
Tommy, what's up?
Not too much. I was wondering if you could comment on your thoughts on WWE's sustainability as a public company going forward. You know, we hear a lot of talk about the network, and it seems like they've kind of gotten by with kind of the equity research analysts on the street as far as pushing things like the network and pushing things like their films division, which has proven unsuccessful so far. And it seems like they haven't really concentrated on that sort of organic growth, and their product has ended up suffering for it. Do you ever think that there's going to be a time in the near future where there could be some sort of serious backlash from the street should things like the network not pan out and they have to resort to do something else or possibly privatize themselves?
I don't see them ever going back private. I suppose anything is possible, but I don't see that happening. I mean, the amount of money that they make as a public company, you know, Vince doesn't mind when his stockholders ask him, maybe not anybody else, but he's open to answering all of the difficult questions. And it's just like any company. I mean, there are always going to be companies where the stockholders are upset about certain things. I remember for a while, the stockholders would always call it in. They'd be saying, how come, you know, this dividend money? Why do you have so much cash on hand? You've got like $385 million cash on hand. Why don't you pay that more to the shareholders? And, you know, eventually they did start paying out more of that to the shareholders. And I mean, we'll see what happens with the network. Every company is going to take risks. And I mean, they've said it before in regards to the network. I mean, I don't think Vince wants to lose money forever on this film network. And the stockholders have been, they've been asking him about the movie division for a while. And now they've pretty much said, we're going to decide at the end of the year. If it's not looking good, it's done. If it looks like it's sustainable, it will survive. So I don't think there's anything. I mean, I don't see the stock just, you know, tumbling and crashing. I mean, maybe it will, but I don't see them going back private.
All right, cool. Well, thanks for the answer, Brian.
Yeah, thanks very much for the call. I'm stumbling all over myself here, trying to get the all of this stuff online here. This is nearly live, actually. All right, I'm putting this up on Twitter right now, so hopefully we get some calls. Actually, they're going crazy, so here we go. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian, this is Nick from Maryland.
Nick?
Yeah.
Nick, what's up?
Hey, not much. I did not see Survivor Series, and normally I would with friends. Every year we gather around for the Big Four, and this is the first year ever where we had absolutely no interest in it. And I understand the guy in creative got fired recently, but yeah, this downward trend is not just the B shows, but even the Big Four shows like SummerSlam 2, there's absolutely no interest anymore in me seeing it. And even when we saw SummerSlam, yeah, we just walked out, but like, why do we wait? Why do we spend money even to get together for it? And I just feel that, you know, I don't know what it's going to take for them to realize that whoever's in charge of doing the booking, they really got to get it together. And I wonder how long it's going to take before they realize that.
Well, let me ask you a question as a viewer. Mm-hmm. Back in the day, there were the Big Four pay-per-views, and they were, you know, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and WrestleMania. They were all 3-4 months apart. And the idea was there were only four. So you had 3 months to build, and then you had the big pay-per-view. You had 3 months to build it up, big pay-per-view. So years ago, it made sense to have the Big Four take place quarterly. But today, you as a viewer, you don't care about Survivor Series. You don't care about SummerSlam. But are you and your buddies going to buy Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, and WrestleMania?
Royal Rumble, yeah, because there's always, well, normally there's the unpredictability, but, you know, honestly, the last couple of years, you know, it's been pretty darn predictable how it goes. And so it's exciting, but the excitement's kind of wearing thin the past couple of years. WrestleMania, we're definitely going to do it. Elimination Chamber, not really. Yeah, and going back to the every 3 months, as a kid, you know, we had that where there was only the four shows 3 months apart. And they were awesome. I remember being so excited. And even nowadays, you know, knowing insider stuff to a degree, if they had it 3 months apart, I'd be more excited for it as not as a fan. It's just, I think, you know, it's gotten to the point there might be one too many shows for them good.
Yeah, I don't see them dropping to four. I for a long time, was always one of those people that thought TNA should just drop to four. No one's buying their pay-per-views every month. Just do four pay-per-views, spend 3 months building it up. They'll do better. And history has shown that's not the case. TNA moving to four pay-per-views made no difference whatsoever. It made the TV seem less important. Nobody bought the pay-per-views any more than they did before. I don't know. It's a different world.
Yeah, and also... Yeah, plus, I mean, the only thing I really am excited about anymore is WrestleMania, but in all honesty, you know, people have said it too, even this year's WrestleMania wasn't really up to snuff. And, you know, if it's not even me enough to the excitement for WrestleMania, then, God, what's that say about the rest of it? You know, in regards to the network, I think them putting that on network would be a pretty bad idea because they would lose a lot of money, and I mean, I'm going to get the network, but I just can't see that paying off in the long run.
Yeah, we're going to talk a lot about the network. Thank you very much for the call. The network, obviously, is a question that hopefully a lot of people will call in about. I want to know, in fact, that should have been the topic of the day. Are you going to buy the network? Maybe we'll do that next week. There is probably some, there may be a network commercial coming sooner than you think, everybody. So once that happens, it's virtually a guarantee. We've got Luke on a Skype line. Luke, what's going on?
Not too much, Brian. How you going?
I'm doing pretty good.
Excellent. Calling in from the UK.
What's happening?
Not a lot. I was talking to a friend of mine recently. With Biggie Langston winning the IC title, it seems that every time we get a new IC champ, we always go through the period of, oh, this is the time they'll start to take it seriously.
Sure.
Do you think that there's a chance they could do a long Biggie Langston build with the IC title and lead to a IC champ versus WWE champ at WrestleMania akin to Hogan Warrior?
This year, I don't see that at all.
No, I'm talking more like probably next year, because you need to give him like a good year with the belt to really make it worthwhile.
I think it'd be far more likely that we would see world champion versus intercontinental champ, or world champion against WWE champion. I think the secondary belts, I mean, I don't see them becoming, considered in line with the main titles until there's only one main title.
Okay, cool. Fantasy booking. I was wondering if they'd ever... it almost feels like there's no point to the IC title or even the US champ. It's often the times I'm in a conversation with someone, I forget who the IC champ is or who
is. There is no point to it. they've got four belts. WWE, World, Intercontinental, and US. There's no way they can all mean something. But at least they're trying now. I want to thank you very much for the call. At least they're trying now to make the World and WWE titles somewhat... on equal footing, but I mean, trying that with those two belts, there's no way they'll do the same thing with the U.S. and the Intercontinental. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this, and where are you calling from?
This is Jared calling from New Haven, Connecticut.
Jared, is that right?
Yep.
Jared, what's up?
Well, after the worst pay-per-view main event since Sting and Jeff Hardy a couple of years ago, I just have one question. What was the point of the last 3 months of television? They throw Daniel Bryan under the bus so they can push Big Show into this spot, and then they do what they did last night.
I think that when they started doing the stuff with the Big Show, I don't know if people remember this, but the Big Show, the people were super into the Big Show because he was playing an outsider, and he was fighting his way in, and he was helping Daniel Bryan. And every time he made an appearance and went after Hunter or Orton or whoever, the place went nuts. And you got to realize in WWE, I mean, they're backstage. They're not watching on television. They're just listening to the crowd. And I can see them going, well, you know, I'm not sure about this Daniel Bryan, but man, these people are into the Big Show. And I think they pulled the trigger on the Big Show after the last pay-per-view. And once they watched the television that followed, they realized, well, maybe he's not the guy after all. And that's why we ended up getting the finish we got last night. I think if they thought that the Big Show was really potentially one of their guys, he would not have been beaten clean with the punt in the main event. So that's what I think happened.
It's just really weird. I mean, I would have thought that a potential route they could have gone with this would be, I mean, apparently there's no interest in even bringing Bryan back into the main event scene for now. But I thought that maybe they put Bryan on hold so they could have maybe given the belt to Big Show for a little bit. You have Bryan do this thing with the Wyatts, and then he gets built back up for the Rumble, wins the Rumble. You have Big Show drop the title to Triple H, and you go back to the whole thing. Triple H is like, oh, I'll never come out of retirement to wrestle someone like you, Daniel Bryan. And now it's like Triple H has the belt. You have Vince come back and say you have to defend at Mania. Bryan wins the Rumble. Makes perfect sense to me.
Yeah, I don't know if they're putting him on a hold. It's possible, but I've heard ideas for Bryan, and right now they don't involve anything approaching the title picture. That could change.
That's ridiculous, because like,
hold on. Let me say one thing. Think about this though.
Sorry.
As ridiculous as that might be, I mean, things change. I mean, I heard nothing about the idea of Randy Orton and John Cena. Not even like this is a possibility. I heard nothing about that, and it just happened last night. I mean, they could look at last night and just go, man, you know what? The Big Show thing didn't work. Nobody cared about this Randy Orton, John Cena stare down. We're going to do it. But, I mean, you know, everybody's chanting for Daniel Bryan. What the hell? Let's do something with him at Royal Rumble. Anything can happen. But I haven't heard anything right now.
Very true.
So.
I mean, because when this whole thing started, you know, with Orton cashing in on Bryan, you think like, okay, well, you gave it the tease. You took it away only to build him back up so he can get it back. Like, that would, you'd think that would be the idea.
Yeah, you'd think.
Yeah.
I can't explain them to you, but I want to thank you very much for the call, and we'll see what happens with Daniel Bryan. Hopefully more, because especially with poor Asparagus passing away, the guy deserves a break. We got Joe Gagne on the line on Skype. Joe, what's up?
Not much, Brian. I was live at Survivor Series last night.
Oh, goody, goody.
Well, my ticket was free, so I don't think I may have a sunnier view than most. I didn't mind the show all that much.
You know, I hear from people on the board and elsewhere, and this happens all the time. They're like, Brian, how do you not like this show? The show was fine, and you just know. And this is nothing against you, Joe, of course, but you know they didn't pay for the show. If they would have paid for the show, they wouldn't be sitting there telling me the show was okay. Of course, it was okay if it's free.
Well, they liked the show.
Well, yeah, but they usually were like, well, you know, I like these three things, didn't care about anything else, and I got it for free. I'm like, well, yeah, if I got it for free and only had to care about two matches, I'd like it too.
Well, my main gripe was that, I mean, nothing really happened. Like, I don't understand why they didn't have Big E win the Intercontinental title here instead of on Raw, because you just set up a rematch that no one cared about and everyone knew the outcome and everyone just checked Facebook during it.
It does make you wonder why, I don't know. We talked about this last night. I mentioned Lance had said this. The idea is that the network is going to be all about getting these pay-per-views for free. Shouldn't the idea be to make the pay-per-views special as opposed to giving title changes on Raw, the better matches on Raw? I mean, it makes no sense. Joe, you're a smart man. Is the network going to succeed or fail?
I'm a little dubious. I think this is I still feel this is pretty uncharted territory, despite what Todd Martin may think, giving away pay-per-views for free. I don't know. I mean, I will certainly subscribe, and I don't get many pay-per-views, but I don't know. Feel a little dubious myself.
Well, I mean, okay, I'll just ask one last question. Let's look at mid-2014. Let's say the network launches in February. It's mid-2014, and decent clearance. Do you see 500,000 subscribers? 750? Let's see what it would be. 1 million? 1.5 million. Where do you see it in 6 months after launch?
Maybe 500,000. That might be generous.
500,000. That's not what they want to hear. That's not what they want to hear.
Last note, someone had a -5 stars poster last night.
I saw that.
Oh, you did? Okay.
I did see that. That was awesome. All right, Joe, I want to thank you very much for the call. And we're going to jump to Bix, who is on Skype. Bix, what's up?
I'm good. So I think you may have already talked about this with Joe just now, but is last night a sign that they, well, last night and the build to Survivor Series in general, a sign that they are trying to sort of kill off pay-per-view as we know it as a way to move towards the network?
Oh, dear God. If that's the case, they're just completely out of their minds. I mean, I asked Vinny this last night. I said, Vinny, are you going to buy the network? And he said, well, it depends on what's offered. And I said, well, forget your job. Like, if you were just a fan, would you buy the network? And he goes, well, I wouldn't buy it for the pay-per-views, but I would buy it for the historical stuff. There's a lot of historical stuff. And so, you know, my thought was, okay, so you're one of 80,000 because that's how many people bought Classics on Demand. If they want to get 1 million, 2 million subscribers, it has to be. It ain't going to be the Classics on Demand stuff. We know that because we've seen it. It's not going to be Legends House. It has to be they feel they're getting the pay-per-views at a giant discount. So to me, the idea that you would try to kill the pay-per-views before launching the network, it's just astonishing to me. You've got to build these pay-per-views up as something special, and they're not, which I don't even know what their idea is.
It's just, I feel like it's the only thing that, even though it doesn't make sense, it's the only thing that makes sense because the build to Survivor Series and the show itself, it was a different kind of bad from the other shows lately. And when I say different kind of bad, I don't mean, oh, the show is just so bad, it was a different kind of bad. I mean, it had a different vibe to it. It was just such an afterthought, and not even an afterthought the way shows were when they had like two shows in a couple weeks, like when they were doing Taboo Tuesday or anything like that. It just felt like they were not trying to compel people to pay $45 to $55.
Well, here's something to think about, and I didn't think about it till just now. They're launching the network at a really weird time. The idea is, okay, the network is going to be all about getting the B pay-per-views for free. You pay your $9.95 or $14.95 and you get the B pay-per-views. That's the idea. However, we're also coming up to Raw and SmackDown renewal time. And so they actually have, they have two very important things they need to do. They need to get the television. They need to get good ratings. They need to get people watching that show, which means you're taking some attention away from your pay-per-views. You can't just give everything away on pay-per-view because you're risking hurting your television number, especially during football season. So they've got to serve the master of, we got to get some ratings and some viewership for this show during a tough period. And they also have to somehow figure out a way to make these pay-per-views meaningful. So when they say all of these pay-per-views are available on the network, if you subscribe, people go, oh my God, I've got to subscribe. And I don't think you can do both of those things at the same time.
I don't know. I don't think it's necessarily mutually exclusive.
Seems to be watching it. I mean, you may be right in theory, but in reality, it's not working.
No, in theory, absolutely. But I feel like there's something up. I just don't know what it is. I can't think of any pay-per-view they have done that was like this Survivor Series.
Well, there was that Survivor Series a couple of years ago when Hunter and Sean and Cena were doing stupid comedy every week, which I recall doing a horrendous buy rate.
That was still a better build than this.
I'd have to go back and look. That's a tough one.
They were still building a match that was important with stars. It was not, this was just a show that was happening. I mean, look at Raw last week. Raw, if you were only not paying that much attention, you could have very well, people could have watched Raw last week and not realized Survivor Series was coming.
Yeah, if you skip through the Survivor Series ads, it'd probably be pretty easy. That's not good.
No.
That's not good. Bix, I want to thank you very much for the call. The thing with comparing those two Survivor Series, the one with Sean, Hunter, and Cena, and this one was, the build for this one just bored me. The build for the Sean Hunter Cena match actively angered me. So I take that one to be worse than this one. All right, to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Finn from Boston.
What's your first name?
Finn.
Finn?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Well, last night I was watching the pay-per-view from my house, and my roommate was at the, like, outside of the garden, interviewing people as they walked out, and he was, like, messaging me every once in a while for updates, and I told him about how Cena posed in front of, like, the Cena sucks sign, and, you know, his first response was, what a jerk, and then couple that with him being seen with, like, Stephanie and, you know, all that, and then the showdown, do you think maybe, they're probably not going to do it, do you think they're kind of teasing a heel turn to Cena?
If this were any other wrestling company in the world, I would say yes. Because adding to that, if you watch Total Divas, I haven't watched this week's episode yet, so I don't know what happens with Cena and Nikki Bella. But I do remember that I was watching the prior week with my wife, and when he showed up with the agreement, and she said, "Why didn't you tell me this before I moved 38 boxes across the country?" The first thing Whitney said, and she's very nice, first thing she said is, "What a douche." So he did not come off as a very friendly guy on that episode. It's been interesting, the things they've done on television, but it is WWE and it is John Cena. And so my gut just tells me, no, he's not turning heel.
Okay. One more question, if it's okay.
Sure.
I heard on his podcast that Colt Cabana had a WWE tryout match.
I don't think it was a tryout match. I think it was an announcing tryout.
Oh, really?
It may have been a tryout match, but I know that I didn't hear the podcast, but I know that he was scheduled to have another announcing tryout. So it may have been that and not an actual in-ring tryout. But you may be right. Yeah. I'll follow that up.
No, he didn't specify on his podcast. He just said a tryout.
Okay, I think it was announcing.
So they're going to have him, like, just on the mic, on the microphone?
It's possible. Like, if he does a good job, he may end up getting an announcing gig for WWE and NXT.
That's pretty neat. Okay.
So I'll try and follow up on that and do an update here.
I'd appreciate it.
All right, thanks so much, Finn. Yeah, Colt Cabana. I really like NXT, but the announcing, outside of, I do really like William Regal. But some of their lead announcers, nothing against them, but they're completely forgettable. I don't even know their names. I don't know anything about them. I zone out when they talk. I think Colt would be, I don't know if he'd actually be a lead announcer, or maybe to be a color guy. I don't know, but hopefully he gets some work. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, Brian. This is Tyler from Honolulu, Hawaii.
What? Honolulu? What's going on?
This is open line, so I figure this would be the best time to ask, if any. But this is going to be a "But I'm Chris Jericho" question.
Okay, I haven't watched a lot of them. Just be prepared.
Well, this is about the pilot.
Okay.
Okay, so I need you to settle an argument between a friend and mine. Basically, I wasn't really... I'm a huge Chris Jericho fan, but I wasn't a really big fan of the show. Now, my complaint was that the roommate... Do you think, at the end of the day, the roommate should have been put in the Walls of Jericho?
I think if you look...
My reasoning behind this was, I've known Jericho for 20 years now. Not personally, but on TV. Okay, so I'm a big Jericho fan. And throughout this whole episode, the guy was just this big... his roommate was just this big, whiny guy that just kept making trouble. You know, so it was impossible for me to see him as a face. Now, my friend thinks that, you know, Jericho was supposed to be like this, you know, douche, and he was getting his comeuppance, but I didn't see that throughout the whole episode. Throughout the whole episode, I just saw the roommate as just this dick that needed to get, like, you know, his comeuppance at the end.
What about the idea of, instead of putting him in the Walls of Jericho, Jericho got so angry that he went to put the guy in the Walls of Jericho, but it doesn't work in a real fight. And we got a good 10 seconds of him struggling to take this guy down and turn him over, and the guy is just not going for it.
That would have been cool, too.
I think that
would have been a much better ending.
Yeah, I the ending just kind of was like an ending, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to see that guy... I'm sure the guy in real life is a nice guy and everything, but I wanted to see that guy, you know, get the finisher or something.
Have you watched all of the episodes of this show?
I've only seen, I think, three of them. I've seen the pirate one, and I've seen I think the other one was just his roommate, where he was making an audition tape or something like that.
Hmm. Yeah, I haven't seen any of them past the second one, but I do like your idea. I think it is a solid idea. I think you should contact the producers.
I will do that. Thanks for taking my call.
Hey, let me ask you one more question. You're in Honolulu.
Yes.
Have you lived there your whole life, or did you move there from the West Coast?
Oh, no, I was born and raised.
Okay, interesting. I presume you have no desire to leave.
You know, there are days where I feel like I'd want to be, like, on the continent, you know, but every time I leave, like, whether it be on vacation or business trip, I just miss coming back home.
I don't blame you. I just ask because every time we go to Hawaii, I meet all sorts of people, and I know I have a jiu-jitsu school here, and we have tons of Hawaiians. And then when I go to Hawaii, we meet all these people. They're like, "Oh yeah, I lived in Seattle on Capitol Hill," and it just seems like there's a huge back and forth between Seattle and Hawaii. And I understand why people here move to Hawaii, but I haven't figured out why the people from Hawaii move here. It's baffling to me.
I think it's just that grass is always greener on the other side thing.
Sure. I guess so. Well, I want to thank you very much for the call, and have a wonderful day there in Honolulu. If you guys have never been to Hawaii, and I did not go for 37 years. Oops, just dropped my phone. I have not been there for 37 years. I don't know what you're waiting for. You should go, because it's beautiful there. It is expensive, though, and if you don't have a kitchen where you're staying, it's impossible to eat healthy. But it's great for a week or so. Back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, whatever, Brian. This is Steven from Sacramento.
Steven, my man, what's up?
Hey, what is up, buddy? I just got done listening to you actually do two shows. I'd like to say thank you very much for giving us all these hours of entertainment with these podcasts. I listened to the Dave show this morning, and I listened to the Brian and Vinny show at the gym today.
And we had a Wrestling Observer Live. I did three shows yesterday.
Okay, I won't lie. I didn't listen to
Crazy
that one,
man.
But that is awesome to you. Thank you very, very much.
No problem. What's up?
But as I was listening to the Brian Benny, you said throw in, you said to call in on the WWE Network if you think it's going to be a success or not. And honestly, I don't really want to pay $15. If it's $10, I'm in. But honestly, when it comes down to it, I'm honestly going to buy this network if it ever gets running. For the one point of view, you're always saying during the reviews of the pay-per-views, because they're saying they're going to give us these pay-per-views for free. But this isn't worth $15. This isn't worth $15. It's to buy the network, you know, because the show last night honestly wasn't that good. When I buy this network, the shows to me, the pay-per-views are a throw-in. What I want to see is like the classic wrestling superstars, the classic prime times. Things like that just organically put on TV, like in the right season, to me, that's going to be worth the money. That's what I want this network to be. If they give us these pay-per-views for free, I think that's just a throw-in on top to make me want to buy this even more. But I think people actually will buy this network. Will it be a network that runs for 5-10 years? I don't think so, but I think it'll be one hell of a ride for us wrestling fans to watch this classic stuff while it's up and running.
See, this kind of call worries me, Steven, because, everybody who calls, or at least everybody who I've talked to of late, they're all interested in exactly what you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And to me, I mean, we've already had that. It was called Classics on Demand, and nobody bought it. So in order for this network to be a success, I need to hear from the people that go, okay, you know, I buy all these pay-per-views, and I'm sick of it. I want to be able to get a network and get the pay-per-views there. Because if not... Steven, you're one of about 80 to 100,000, I think. And they need 1 to 2 million. And I don't think there's 1 to 2 million people that only want the classic stuff. They've got to find people that want the current pay-per-views. And in the state the pay-per-views are in, I don't know where the hell they're going to find those 2 million people.
The problem I have with Classics on Demand was, like, I know people don't watch wrestling the way I watch wrestling, but, you know, they like to say that they were, you know, wrestling 24/7. But you could shoot through that on-demand stuff in 2 days. And then what are you going to do for the rest of them?
That is true. The Classics on Demand was very limited. That is true. However, I don't know what they're doing with the network. I don't know if they're going to have 40 hours of programming a month, 100 hours of programming a month. They may have slightly more than Classics on Demand, but just, you know, repeat it. I don't know what they're going to do yet. You may end up getting a similar amount of programming. Maybe you'll get double or more. I don't know.
I remember back to a show that honestly was, I know they've been talking about this network for a long time. It could have been a year, it could have been 2 years ago with Diamond Dallas Page. And he was saying that it was only going to be like 5 hours of programming a day, and then it was going to be a whole lot of like infomercials, and that's what he was hoping for, was that he could jump in, have his DDP yoga be a 1 hour infomercial, and then all these wrestling marks, you know, buy his stuff.
Well, that may have been the idea 2 years ago. Maybe it's still the idea today. I don't know. They're going to have, I mean, you're talking 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I mean, CNN, whatever. I mean, they've all in the middle of the night got, you know, commercial time. Actually, maybe CNN doesn't. I don't know. But, you know, there's always going to be that commercial time. I don't know how much new programming they're going to have per day. Non-repeated new programming. I mean, they've got tens of thousands of hours of footage. But how much of that is digitized? How much of that are they want to give away immediately? I mean, you got to save stuff for months down the line. It's going to be interesting.
I know, as a guy who buys like a lot of, well, I guess all the DVDs that come out, honestly, you know, like the DVDs that have come out in the last 2 years, that, you know, they've really, I don't want to say that. I guess they've sort of shot their load. Like everything's already been, you know, released that way. So I guess maybe they'll run into the same problem with the network as well.
Have you ever, you don't get just Netflix and get a lot of the DVDs on there?
I don't really like watching them that way. Like you get the documentaries, but you don't get all the matches that come
along true.
With it.
That is true. That is true.
The one thing that I'm really hoping for, I know it's all held up and you don't know how they're going to be able to do it, but a Memphis documentary is the one thing that I'm really holding out for. I know they got Lawler under contract, but I mean, like, Fargo just died, and you know they got to get that thing done as soon as they can.
Yeah, I want to thank you very much for the call. I'm just wondering what they're going to do with this network. I mean, they've got to have a plan. But to me, you've got to hit everybody if you want 2 million subscribers. You've got to have the pay-per-views. You've got to have classics. You've got to have new programming. You've got to have everything. And do they have that yet? I mean, what are their plans? What are their plans for this network? It would be nice if we knew more here, 2 months away or so. All right, back to the phones. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Patrick from Rochester.
What's up, Patrick?
Hey, not bad. Just had a quick question. Don't know if you or Dave, or me, if Dave knows it. With NXT and probably in the last 3 or 4 guys they've brought up, they've been using the gimmicks that have been, they've been using in NXT. Is that an edict where they want them to use the gimmick and then bring it up there, or is it just they're just not giving guys new gimmicks when they bring them up?
I think the idea is you get a gimmick in developmental, and if it works, you bring it up to the main roster.
Okay, so that plan probably won't change unless they have some brilliant idea of where.
Yeah, and if you watch, if you watch NXT, guys like the Ascension, for example, I mean, they're gimmicks have been changing in developmental, and the main office can watch all of the developmental stuff. So I think that they monitor everything, and they watch characters and such. And if there's something that, okay, well, you know, I like the Ascension, but God, Conor O'Brien's just stupid name. Let's change that name. They have that changed. You know, they kind of mold everybody down there. And then allow them to come up with that that same gimmick.
Okay, that's cool. Then will they have to do anything then with them airing the show on Hulu so it's available to a larger audience, or is that just not even playing?
Ask that question again. Do they have what?
I'm sorry. With them now offering the show on Hulu, does that play into that idea that they want the guys to practice the gimmicks before they come up since people are seeing them?
Or wait. It's not available on Hulu? I just watched it on Hulu.
No, and if not, it's available on Hulu.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you see, now it's, yeah, I mean, before, like, with FCW, you know, if you wanted to watch a show, you, I mean, you pretty much, you had to find outside of, like, was it Sunshine Network or something like that? I mean, the only thing you could do was illegally download it, but now that, I mean, you know, the universe potentially is so huge, but I don't really know what the numbers are that watch it. But I was thinking, like, would that play into it, too, where you can't have a guy come off, you know, with a completely different gimmick and idea, but be the exact same, you know, be the exact same person.
Well, you can, because I used to do that all the time when guys went to WWE from like WCW or any other promotion. So I don't see them being against that idea, but I think he sees it more like NXT is a territory and we're trying to groom some stars in that territory. And then those stars will come to WWE, and it won't be like the old days of WWF. It'll be like the old days of any other territory where a star came in with the same gimmick. I think that's his mindset.
All right, and then the other question I have is, with some of the girls that are down in NXT, such as Paige and Emma, who can actually go and work for more than 4 or 5 minutes, if they are brought up, do you think they're going to get stuck into the same type of situation where a lot of the women are in, where they're only getting 2 or 3 minute matches, and that's why they're kind of stuck in NXT for the time being?
I want to thank you very much for the call. I don't think the women that can work are going to be brought up and just paraded around in swimsuits. If you watch WWE, the girls that can work, I mean, the matches aren't necessarily all that long, but they are given a chance to work. And the swimsuit models turned wrestlers are the ones that they get out of that Survivor Series matches as fast as humanly possible. So I think that Emma and Paige, I think when they come up, they're going to be allowed to really wrestle. Although, you know, they'll do their bikini shoots as well and such, and that will be nice. To the phones, you're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hey, it's Antonio from Colorado Springs.
Antonio, what's up?
Not much, just job hunting and chicken farming.
Oh, yeah?
Yep.
Are you job hunting for a chicken farm?
No. It's more of my mom's side project, so I just got to take responsibility and do
that.
Something while I'm doing nothing.
All right, well, what's up?
I got to tell you, man, I feel so sorry that this is your job after last night. I literally feel for you. I was watching Survivor Series, which was mistake number one. Time could have been spent doing anything else, and it would have been a more productive use of that. And I don't know. It's just the pro wrestling industry nowadays, I mean, as of last night, I fell out of love with it. You know, I've been watching since 2005. I don't think I want to watch anything anymore. I know there's better stuff out there, but right now...
You're not going to watch Raw tonight?
No.
Really?
What is there on Raw, really? I mean, what are we going to get? The best case scenario that I see is they're going to keep playing up John Cena and Randy Orton, which 2009 beat to death. It beat a dead horse to the point where another horse died, and they went over and beat that one.
And as a chicken farmer, you'd know.
Yeah, well, don't really see any horses around here too much, but you know.
Livestock. Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. My job is not misery, okay? But last night, Craig lives an hour away. So at 5:30, I got in my car. I drove an hour to his house. I got a snack at Subway. I went into his house. It was me and Vinny and Craig and Craig's skinny friend, Bill. And we sat there and we watched the pay-per-view, and Craig was playing around on his computer the whole time. Vinny was typing and moving between the couch and the beanbag chair. They were sharing stuff with each other online. Craig's kid was jumping up and down and being wacky. There were dogs barking. Bill looked like he was in a coma. And we sat through this whole show. And when the show was over, Craig just shut off the television and we all just sat there. And we sat there in silence for a while, and then we were kind of like, wow, great show. And we all sort of mumbled a little bit, and then we put on our shoes, and then I drove an hour back home. I mean, there was no excitement. There was no... I mean, the room was just... We were just dudes watching a show that wasn't even a show we really wanted to watch. And I just thought, you know, if this weren't my job... And I think about other living rooms around the United States, and it's like, if there are other living rooms like this around the United States, I understand these pay-per-views dying. Because... What was in it for me? I don't know. You still there, Antonio? I guess Antonio's gone. I ranted so long and loud that I blew him off the line. That may be a first. What was happening when you were watching the show? If you did watch the show, did you watch it all by yourself streaming somewhere and surf the internet in the meantime? Did you have any friends over? Did you have anybody over to watch the show with you, or did you have to watch it all by yourself? I wonder what it's like in other pay-per-view parties around the nation. Do people jump up and down and cheer? If so, what did you cheer about last night? I'm not even trying to be mean. I'm just wondering. There was no cheering at Craig's house. Back to the phones. You're on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Hi, Brian. This is Sammy from New Jersey.
Sammy, what's happening?
You know, stuff.
You sound like Vinny.
Well, I kind of just woke up. Yes, it's not the first time I've called in right after waking up.
Just like Vinny, just waking up.
Just waking up. That's what I do.
I do too.
What?
I wake up too.
Wait, I think we all wake up at some point.
It sucks.
I don't know. I'm thinking about New Orleans.
Well, that'll be cool. That'll be cool. So you didn't like the pay-per-view?
I don't like anything they've done in a while, really.
Man.
Except for, like, you know, things here and there. And that way, I guess, for like 12 years. Kind of finding, I never really was like a fan of like MMA until your site kind of got me watching it. Now I'm like starting to watch that and thinking it's more interesting, which is kind of sad because I've been a fan my whole life. I don't know.
Are you, you don't sound like a man who is getting ready to buy the network, or are you?
It's funny. Last week I mentioned that to my girlfriend. Like, you know, if they get it on Netflix, I'm a cord cutter. If they do put it on Netflix, they'd probably get it. And then, like, last night, I'm like, I was listening to your show with Dave and then also with Vinny, and I'm like, yeah, that's kind of a good point. Should I really pay $15 for this crap? But I don't know.
Well, we'll see what else is on the network, I guess, is the way to do it, right? What else is going to be on this network?
I have no idea. I guess probably I would maybe if they had some HLA, I might watch it. How about that?
Just an HLA hour?
Yeah, an HLA hour. Just every day, just repeat the same segments over and over again with Bischoff and HLA. How about that?
HL8. How about that?
Not HL8. What's HL8?
Late at night. HL8.
Oh, HL8. Okay, I got you. Yeah, that would be cool. If they had like a TV 14 segment every night, you know, maybe showing the girls from Raw when DX asked them to flash and stuff. Yeah, sure, I'll get it.
Maybe they could have a special program since all of the listeners that have been calling in, they all want older stuff from their childhood in the '80s. Maybe they could have after midnight a 1 hour scrambled program where it's just scrambled and you can kind of see girls in the background.
Can I tell you, I watched, I think, Royal Rumble 91 exactly like that.
Really?
Give a buck. Yeah.
You need good announcers for that kind of thing.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, gosh. I don't know. I'm sorry. I just woke up, so I must sound all crazy and groggy and stuff.
But it's a little groggy, yeah. Sound like Chuck Liddell.
Me and my friend and my girlfriend all planning to go to New Orleans for WrestleMania, but she wanted to go because she hasn't visited there ever and stuff, so probably going to go. But I'm almost thinking to go and watch WrestleMania on some kind of stream and then go to Raw instead of going to WrestleMania.
So you're
going
to skip WrestleMania to watch it on a stream from New Orleans?
Yeah, and then go to Raw Live.
You'll go to the show. Come on now.
I mean, if I go, I'll probably go. But like this year, I went to WrestleMania and I went to Raw, and Raw was way, way better. And I don't know. It's just they're like I said, like I called last time, they're causing me to lose faith, and it's so hard to let go. But it's like, come on, like can't they just like. I don't know, can't, like, Vince and Triple H definitely just, like, you know, fall in the ocean or something and have, I don't know, Paul Heyman take over? I think that'd be a lot better.
Well, I want to thank you very much for the call. I don't see them falling into the ocean anytime soon, at least all three of them at the same time. I don't see Hunter as a big boater. I guess it's possible. Man, there's calls we're getting today. Is it like this after every pay-per-view? It probably is. I need to make sure, we haven't done open lines. We just started Monday Open Lines recently, so we need a good pay-per-view. We need a blow-away pay-per-view so that I can do open lines and find out if, like, you know, are people upset after a great pay-per-view as well, or is it only after a lame pay-per-view like Survivor Series? I presume it's only, like, a lame pay-per-view, but we'll see. You think TLC will be the blow-away pay-per-view of the last several months? With John Cena and Randy Orton likely as the main event? I guess we'll see. Let's take one more call. You are on the air. Who is this and where are you calling from?
Brian, this is Daniel from Greensboro, North Carolina. How are you doing, sir?
Daniel, what's happening?
I had a question about TNA. I know everybody talks about the morale being low there with all the superstars and everything. Would you ever see them going easy on their independent bookings to where maybe they could get more dates and maybe even let them go to Ring of Honor and these DVD companies where they could actually get more work in now that they're not getting as many house shows with TNA?
I think that ROH is very much out of the question because obviously the ROH has television and I don't think they want their
DVD company. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It's, I think to me, the impression I got was that the talent was a lot happier when they were wrestling more. I mean, these guys are wrestlers. They love to work. They love to perform. And there was that period where TNA started pricing them out of the market, basically. They wanted so much money as a booking fee / talent fee that a lot of these guys, I mean, the work they were getting outside of TNA just dried up. And I know the guys were very, very unhappy about that. So from a morale standpoint, I mean, especially if you're, you know, if you're cutting down the number of house shows, if you're doing TV tapings kind of lumped together and then they have weeks where they're not working. I mean, I really would try and do something. I mean, think about this. If you're charging so much for a booking fee that the guys aren't getting work, not only are they not getting work, but you aren't making any money. So maybe the idea should be, all right, we're gonna drop this thing in half. And yeah, you're getting half of what you were asking before, but at least you're getting something. You weren't getting anything before. And these guys are getting a chance to get out and work. So yeah, go ahead.
That was my thing, is that maybe they could, you know, maybe take an AJ Styles, a Kazarian, a Chris Daniels, and let them go work with a PWG and let them work with, you know, their friends and get that competition, you know, let them have a, because, I mean, let's face it, there's a difference between a PWG style match or a Ring of Honor, Dragon Gate, Evolve, then like a TNA match. And I thought that might help with just morale as far as letting them get out and actually do something that they could do when they first got to TNA with, you know, with PWG and Ring of Honor and all these guys. But I just thought it might help with, I mean, financially, I mean, I'm sure these guys are taking a hit with not working as much.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I don't know AJ Styles. I have not spoken to AJ Styles, but my guess would be that AJ Styles is having a wonderful time being able to go to Japan and Mexico and just have his kind of match. And it's probably the most fun he's had in a while, I would guess. And give other guys this opportunity. Give him this opportunity, you know, and let him get out there and work. I mean, not everybody is a Kevin Nash who would be happy sitting at home and just collecting a paycheck. Most of these guys, and I want to thank you very much for the call, most of these guys got into wrestling because they wanted to be wrestlers, because they loved wrestling. And all they want to do is wrestle. Obviously make money for it and that sort of thing. But, yeah, I think that's a great idea. I think they should allow that, and I think it would make for a happier locker room. All right, everybody. We are going to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody who called in. Phone lines were jammed the entire time. I really appreciate that. And don't forget, this Friday night, live at artbell.com, midnight Pacific, 3 a.m. Eastern, After Dark is live. Phone calls and emails and some other surprises as well. Spread the word. I'm going to be putting all the information out here very, very soon. So let's help this thing take off. And we've got a lot of stuff here on the Wrestling Observer site as well. Tomorrow, Val Venus is going to be on the show. Supposed to be on last week, but it'll be taking place tomorrow instead. You can look forward to that. Wrestling Observer Radio tonight. We've got a Brian and Vinny show tomorrow. We're back on schedule. And a lot of stuff coming up this week. Tons of shows. And obviously, if you're a subscriber, we had 8 million shows this past weekend as well. I did 3 shows yesterday. Wrestling Observer Live, Brian and Vinny Show, Wrestling Observer Radio. And we even had a Todd Martin show, which a lot of people have been raving about since Todd spent 10 minutes talking about the Tupac shooting from, I believe, 1996. That is up on Saturday. The JFK Assassination After Dark is up right now. You can also check that one out at AfterDarkRadioShow.com or BrianAlvarez.com. And soon, artbell.com. A lot of stuff up there. So head up and check it out, everybody. We'll be back later on tonight. Wrestling Observer Radio talking Raw. We'll talk to you then.